not easy to see this nor to share this. But we have to make it clear to all of you. It's not a matter of criticizing anybody or any group, but we need to know what the Word of God says and what the Word of God wants to tell us. It's very important to see this. So if you do not know the historical background and the spiritual meaning, you will not appreciate Psalm 126. It says here, Lord, turn again our captivity. What are you talking about, our captivity? What does it mean? What kind of captivity is this? It's a different kind of captivity. God's purpose is to bring his people back to Zion. But if all of his people remain here, then what can God do? How can God accomplish his purpose? And then throughout the last 500 years, thousands of groups were built up. Just when people see a little bit like concerning the matter of baptism, they've immediately formed a Baptist church. And they didn't go up to here, so this became a captivity to keep God's people here in this group. And so the enemy caused all of God's people to be dispersed, divided, and full of confusion. Nobody understands each other. You do your thing, I do my thing, right? So from here, in Babylon, you come here to smaller Babylon. So you can see the result of this captivity is now you have so many groups holding back God's people to go to Zion. Because if you're here in the Lutheran church, we need people to build the church here in Zion, but you keep the people here. You keep God's people here. How can God's people be built into Jerusalem, God's house? Jerusalem is a place in the third song of the ascends here. Jerusalem is a place compact together where people of God are built up together in oneness. And now, right, you keep all of God's people in little group with their own little interest. At the end, how many are left to come here? You tell me. But on the other hand, it is not just these groups, but God's people. They don't care for God's purpose. Yeah, my great-great-grandfather was there. My great-grandfather was there. My grandfather was there. My father was there, so I'm there. Well, you're there not because you saw something, not because you saw the truth in the Bible, but because your great-great-grandfather was there. Right? So we need to see something in the church life. We shouldn't be blinded by tradition. Don't think we cannot be blinded. Again, I mentioned this morning when Jesus came to this earth, the Jews could not change their concept and tradition. For almost 2,000 years they've been practicing that, and now you're telling them you're wrong. Who's going to believe you? Right? Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, okay. Right? Don't think it's easy to come out of tradition. No. Be it the Roman Catholic Church, or the Lutheran state churches, or any of the denominations today, or the Pentecostal group. You think it's easy to come out? No, it's not easy. Right? But on the other hand, God's people like that. They like that. So may the Lord open our eyes. That is why when we come to the third group, the first group is When the Lord turned back the captivity of Zion, praise the Lord, we were like them that dreams. You know, when we saw the church and came into the church life, my, it was so fresh, so living, we were so happy. The Lord showed you what it's all about. Aren't you happy? Right? Oh, we were all very excited, praise the Lord. We were like them who dream. But then, there's still many others who are in captivity. So, the psalmist here prayed, Lord, bring again our captivity as the streams in the south. Because the south is usually a desert. There's no water, so dry. And so everybody's hoping that winter time will come and there will be water, the streams will be flowing. Right? So this should be our desire to see many more of the seeking Christians to come home. The church belongs to God. It's God's house. It is not man's organization. No, absolutely nothing. Not like that. The church is heavenly. The heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. Right? So we need to pray. There are still many more. But first of all, you have to be in Zion grace. Right? Now that you have seen what Babylon is and what all of this division is today, so where do you want to be, Grace? It's easy to make a decision, right? Is it so hard to say, Lord, I decided to be in Zion? So easy. You see, on one hand, it's very easy. On the other hand, it's a captivity. You come out with one foot, but your other foot is bound in chains there. You couldn't come out. It's not easy to fully come out. You know, we have so many reasons. So-and-so is still there. All this is still there. And so, Lord, it's hard for me to come out. Well, the Lord will never force anyone to come out. Believe me. If you read Ezra chapter 1, when King Cyrus announced, give out the command, he did not force the Jews to go back to Jerusalem, but those who have a heart for the God who dwells in Jerusalem, let them arise and go back and rebuild Jerusalem. Although he was a king and God told him to do that, God did not tell him to force all of God's people to come home. Let's read. I think it's good to read. Let's go to Ezra. Ezra chapter 1, after Chronicle, okay? Ezra chapter 1. It's good to read. I'll read it to you all. Ezra chapter 1, after the historical books. Right, Kings and Chronicles, Samuel, Kings and Chronicles. After 2 Chronicle, you come to the book of Ezra. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. Well, you see, God influenced the king of Persia to do this. Thus says Cyrus, the king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord God of heaven has given me. And he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God who dwells in Jerusalem. So he even says he is God who dwells in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, beside a freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. So this was the proclamation given by King Cyrus. But already during the time of Isaiah, Isaiah already prophesied that God is going to use King Cyrus, and Isaiah mentioned King Cyrus by name. So you see, the word of God is wonderful. Right? So here we can really see those who came back, they really were very happy. But don't just be for yourself. You must pray, Lord, turn again our captivity. Bring back the captives, because we are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are all people of God, except unfortunately we are all scattered. To be scattered is not a good thing. It's God's judgment. Right? God's desire is for us to come together and be built up into his habitation. So today, what are we doing here? We are not just missionaries and just to preach the gospel, getting people saved. And after that, they're scattered in so many different groups and division. This is not according to God's will. So up to this very point, in this third stage, you are now a person who realizes what is in God's heart. What does God want to accomplish? What is God's purpose? Is God's purpose just to save his people out of Egypt and let them just be scattered, do what they like in the desert? No. God desires to bring them into the good land, which is Christ. And then in the good land, God's purpose is to build his kingdom in Jerusalem. But nobody cared for that until David came along. Otherwise, nobody thought what God wants. Right? So in the Song of Ascent, up to this third stage, the beginning of the third stage, the group. Right? Psalm 126. Now, if you are there, you will realize what is in the heart of God. What does he want to do? Does he just want you to be an individual good Christian? No. If you read the whole New Testament, the Lord wants to build up his spiritual church. You are the living stones. But suppose all the stones are scattered in so many different denominations. And in Babylon, that is not what God wants to build. No. It may be a beautiful thing. Have you been in Vatican? No? Oh, I've been there a few times, taking some guests. It's good to look at, especially all the paintings of Leonardo da Vinci. Beautiful. Michelangelo, wow. You see, in the Sistine Chapel, you say, wow. But do you think the Lord will appreciate Michelangelo? Leonardo da Vinci? You think all of this God will appreciate? Is that God's building? No, that's not God's building. Definitely not. Right. So you can really see. Yeah. Men have different concepts. And this is the work of the enemy, to change the nature of the church into something like Vatican. Into something like so many mega churches and so many denominations and so many groups. And, you know, right? God neither wants the Protestants nor the Catholic Church. No. God has something for himself. He wants Zion. Right? So here, today, you need to realize what is God's plan, what is God's purpose. That's why we have this. Amen. Lord, turn again our captivity. And if the Lord turn our captivity, then the nations will really see God has done great things. This is exactly what the Lord prayed in John chapter 17, that they all may be one, that the world may believe that you have sent me and have loved me. So if we all disperse, we become a laughing stock for the world. But if we all are built up, I tell you, there is such a wonderful power of the Holy Spirit behind it. No wonder here in this Psalms it says, and they among the nations will say, the Lord has done great things for them. Great things for them. Now you read, let's go and read John 17 to help some of the young people understand how important the oneness is. And the Lord prayed for the oneness here among God's people. John chapter 17, beginning in verse 21. The Lord prayed. I'll read to you, beginning in verse 20. This is the last prayer of the Lord before he went to the cross. I do not pray for these alone, meaning to say his disciples then, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Isn't that wonderful? And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Wow, this is the Lord's Prayer. Can you imagine that? And what is the result? That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So when we are one and truly one and build up together, just like the Lord and the Father are one, it's a heavenly oneness. Not a man-made oneness. Then the world will say the Lord has done great things for them. And this is exactly what Psalm 126 says. But if we are fighting each other and divided and so divided, goodness, the world will say, you're not any different from us. We are divided, you're divided. We're fighting, you are fighting. So what's so good about being a Christian? Right. So Psalm 126 is very precious. But if you don't know the history, you will not appreciate Psalm 126. Right? Have you read Psalm 126 before? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe many of you have not read before. And if you did read Psalm 126, not knowing the background, will you appreciate this psalm? I don't think so. You will have no feeling for those who are in captivity. You would even think, hey, we're all saved. What do you mean we're captives? Right? But now, today, you know. So if you know, don't fight with them, don't criticize, say, oh, you're in Babylon. No, don't say that. But you pray for them. Because if you do, you're going to fight with them, they're going to fight with you. No need of that. But you need to have an inner realization what it's all about. Then you can pray for God's people. Lord, turn again our captivity. Bring back the captives of Zion. Why is it called the captives of Zion? Because those belong to Zion. God's people, they don't belong to the Lutheran church. You mean to say the church belongs to Martin Luther? Oh my goodness, no. Is Martin Luther the bridegroom of the church? Is the church going to marry Martin Luther? Absolutely not. Right. So these are the captives of Zion. Lord, turn again our captivity. We're not here to criticize them. Oh, you're in Babylon. I'm in Zion. Forget about that. Please, don't be proud. Remember that. That's not so good to tell others, you're in Babylon. Come out. Why are you staying there? No, that's not a point of our message this morning. That's why you have to go and sow in what? In what? In tears. That means you love them. You wish they could come home for God's purpose. For God's purpose. Right. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Now I want to go on. Otherwise, we will get stuck in Babylon. Not in Babylon, but in Psalm 126. Excuse me. Yes, go ahead. Oh, he's a Persian, of course. Yes, he's the first king. He's the first king of Persia. Huh? Because the Lord knew him before he was born, right? So the Lord appeared to him. Even in Isaiah, I cannot remember which chapter, but Isaiah prophesied, God called King Cyrus my servant. Not because he is part of God's people, but because God is going to use him to bring back his people from the Babylonian Persian kingdom back to Israel. He was a good king. He is the best king amongst the Persian kings. Right? And so it's exactly at a time when King Cyrus became the first king there of Persia, that he was 70 years in captivity. So the Babylonian kingdom under Nebuchadnezzar did not last very long. His sons and his grandson was not good. So when Persia conquered Babylon, the first king was really King Cyrus. So he was a good king. And he was a very open-hearted king. Most of the king, when they conquer any empire, they would convert, that empire to follow him and do whatever, whether it be religion or anything. But King Cyrus allowed any land that he conquered to keep their religion, can you imagine that? And to even practice their culture. Not any other emperors or king at that time, no. So King Cyrus is a very special vessel prepared by God to bring his people back from Babylon back to Zion. So God in his wisdom has already prepared that long time before it ever happened. That is why Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. My goodness, before God created this world, he already chosen you, Bianca. Right? Wow, this is amazing, right? The world didn't exist yet. This planet didn't exist yet. And God already chose us before the foundation of the world, right? So now let's go to Psalm 127. This is very good. When you're in Zion, now that you're in Zion, who is building the church? Let us read verse 1. and verse 2, 1 to 2. Okay. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Praise the Lord. How about that? Now that you're in Zion, who builds the house? You remember in group 2, let Israel say what? If it had not been the Lord who is on our side, oh, we would have been swallowed alive. Well, you were not swallowed alive. You're still here. Doing what? Building up the house of God. But who is building it? You have to learn to say, not just doctrinally, but in reality, if the Lord is not building and we are here building, we'll be building in vain. At the end, it's going to turn out to nothing. Yeah. And if the Lord has let you build something, you're going to build a crystal cathedral. Or you're going to build a mega church. You're going to build a church mall, you know. Just like in Singapore, right? They're going to build a church mall. I'm not kidding you. It's all in the big paper in the news. The brothers there, when I was in Singapore, they showed me, wow, that mega church is going to build a church mall. So, because they need a meeting place for 20,000 people, so mall. So, next to the meeting place is a cinema theater. And down below, you can go shopping. So, after a morning service, you can either go see a movie, it's right next door. Even discount for the members of the... If I were the head pastor there, I'll give all my members a card, a discount card, 15%, just like the senior citizen. So after the meeting here, you can all go to cinema, 15% discount. Wow, how about that? And then after the movie, you can go and have your lunch there somewhere, another 15% discount. And then after lunch, you can go shopping. Hey, Wilsona, Hobo. Not bad, eh? It's a good idea. But do you think this idea comes from above? But this is what men are doing. I'm not joking, right? They're going to build a church mall. If you see this, you will weep inside. That God's people ended up doing such things, you will weep. You will pray, Lord, turn again our captivity. Right? You say, Lord, turn it. Don't criticize them. Because you're not going to change their concept, but you pray for them. Lord, save your people. Open their eyes. Right. But if we come back to Zion, you have to realize, no, the church is only built by the Lord. If he doesn't build and we are here building, we might end up building not only a church mall, we might build up something else. Right. So in this group now, you realize, now that we came back to Zion, Lord, unless you build, we cannot. None of us are so capable to build a heavenly building. You can build an earthly building. You can build Vatican. You can build Lutheran cathedral there. You know, you can build a crystal cathedral. You can build a denomination. But when it comes to building up the heavenly Jerusalem, you have to read Psalm 127. And remember this in your heart. unless he builds, you will build things in vain. Yeah. Don't build a Christian coffee shop. Don't. You know, I was in Korea this time before I came to Bangkok and here in the Philippines. There was a group, a former LSM group there who is in Brazilian. And this man has a large also coffee plantation. Obviously, he produces coffee in Brazil. You know, Brazilian coffee. It's not bad, huh? So some of his people went there to Korea and try to get all these people who want to build up, you know, a Christian church there and encourage them to build up Christian coffee shop. And of course, we will supply you coffee from Brazil. Wow. So if all over Korea, can you imagine, all over South Korea, we open all so many coffee shops. And when people come to drink coffee, you can preach the gospel to them. Gospel with coffee. Oh, my, it smells much better. Do you need coffee to preach the gospel? Is the triune God not powerful enough for you to gain people? God needs coffee to gain people? All right, certainly not. Right. So this is how people do it. Right. So may the Lord open our eyes. Praise the Lord, to really see. No, unless the Lord builds. You remember Psalm 147, Toby? You remember Psalm 147? The God who builds Jerusalem. I think I mentioned it sometime to you, right? Do you remember, Johan? Psalm 147. What did it say? In the beginning of Psalm 147, it says, God is a God who builds Jerusalem, right? Verse 2, right? And then you continue to read, how to build Jerusalem. Verse 10, what did he say? Oh, okay, because it's just a horse, right? So God didn't like the strength of a horse. What else did he not like? Really? I can understand he didn't want horsepower. What about manpower? How about manpower? Neither in the strength, the legs of the man, of man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, to those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gate. And he has blessed your children within you. Praise the Lord. Right? He makes peace in your border and fills you with the finest wheat. Because in verse 2 it says, God is the God who builds Jerusalem. Right? And so here we see in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Because you're going to build God's house in a strange way, and at the end, it's going to be torn down. It's going to be torn down. And unless the Lord guards the city, his city, of course, the watchman stays awake in vain. I don't want to do anything in vain. Yeah. Otherwise, year after year, we'll be coming together, and after 10 years, it just fell apart. That won't be good. That won't be good. That will be in vain. You build up something, I don't care if it's a small thing, right? But it must be solid, it must be according to Him, it must be the Lord who builds. Otherwise, you're going to build something, and at the end, it's going to be blown away. It's going to be blown away. I've seen too many of those. In the beginning, it was so exciting, and hundreds, thousands of people. 40 years later, it's gone. There's nothing. Nothing left. It's in vain. You may not see it right away, but later on, you will see it falls apart. So, in building of God's house, don't expect to grow overnight. No. No, it's not going to grow overnight. Nothing that is of life will grow overnight. You sow a seed, you have to wait for a long time until that seed turns into really a fruit-bearing tree. You cannot wait overnight. Don't think if you plant a tree tonight and tomorrow, it's going to grow into a big tree. Then that only happens with Jack and the beanstalk. You all know Jack and the beanstalk, right? It's not real. Don't believe in that. So if things happen overnight, you become a mega church, you should realize that's just a dream, Jack and the beanstalk. So you have to remember Jack and the beanstalk. But also remember Psalm 127. Right? So what do? It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, because we labor, we do a lot of things, right? At the end, and you're eating the bread of sorrows because, you work so hard, going through a lot of sorrows to earn the bread, and you're eating the bread of sorrows. But the Lord gives His beloved sleep. First of all, you can sleep. If you worry so much, can you sleep? No, you cannot sleep. But if you don't worry, you can sleep well, right? But that's not only that. To sleep here means you don't build the church by yourself anymore. The old man, the man who is there struggling by himself, is dead. Sleep in the Old Testament is not just you go to bed 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you go to bed, you wake up in the morning. This is not what it really meant here. Spiritually, to sleep means you die. You die. Who died? The old man died. Because our old man is very active. We're very active. And so if you're very active in building God's house, you will build it according to your ways. It's in vain. So learn to say, it is no longer I. And what happened to the I? I, Galatians says, have been crucified with Christ. So when you're baptized this afternoon, you're going to be baptized into His death. Praise the Lord. It's what a relief. I'm dead. What a relief. If it's still you and me in the church life, the church life is Schubert, Johann, John, Frank, and Charlie, and the dear sisters, hallelujah. So actively building, you'll be quarreling, you'll be discussing, you'll be arguing, and at the end, nobody would like anybody. After we discuss, forget it, sisters. How can we build up the church? But if all of the old men went to sleep, if you and your wife quarreled, if, let's say, just in case, You quarrel when you're awake. Right? Do you still quarrel when you both are sleeping? No. So you better just sleep and don't wake up. Then you won't quarrel. Our old men have been crucified with Christ. Praise the Lord. You will say, it's no longer I don't live anymore. Colossians says, you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So, well, praise the Lord. This is really wonderful. You still like to quarrel, then you're in your old self. But if you're in the new man, living Christ, then why quarrel? Praise the Lord, right? So the Lord gives his beloved sleep. So good night and have a good night's sleep. In God's building, you have to be put to sleep. Otherwise, it's going to be a mess. God's building is going to be a mess. This is the secret of building God's house. Okay? Amen, Sufang. Great, praise the Lord. I need to go to sleep. You need to go to sleep. Then let the Lord do the building. Through the new man, you with him. The new man, remember the three circles with the Spirit inside. Then the church will be built up in peace, and you will say, it is not I, but the Lord building. And unless he builds, it's going to be in vain. Right? That is in this wonderful Psalm 127. And then, why all of a sudden, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. How come he talks about children now? Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the woman is a reward. Now it says they're like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Does it sound familiar? The sharp arrows of a warrior. Does it sound familiar? In where? In Psalm 120. Exactly. In Psalm 120. Who are the children here? The young people here. Young people should be like the sharp arrows to defeat God's enemies. So if in a church life our young people are just sitting there, nothing like sharp arrows. You think it's good? The church life needs the younger generation to rise up. The enemy is afraid of that. Right. We need the next generation to rise up, to be strong. This is what the old apostle says, John, in 1 John chapter 2, right? I'm speaking to you, young men, because you are strong, because the Word of God dwells in you. Because you have overcome the world. My goodness, young people here in the church life, we have to be strong. Right? To be strong in the Spirit. Then you will become like a sharp arrow in the hand of a warrior. Here is a warrior. You may be in the church life an older, experienced brothers, but you're like a warrior without arrows because all the arrows are like rubber, you know? You know, like a rubber. So if you shoot the arrow, it just goes boom, boom. Can't do it. Happy is a man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but speak with your enemies in the gate. Hallelujah. If our young people in the church life are all strong in the Spirit, loving the Lord for the church life, amen. It's a wonderful thing. Can you imagine all of your children really love the Lord? not only loves the Lord, but are really clear concerning God's purpose and given to the Lord, and everyone is as sharp as an arrow. Wow. How about that? Don't you like that? Gigi, don't you want all your sons and daughters to be like sharp arrow, bang, hitting the heart of the enemy? This is in Psalm 45. The king's arrows is, bang, shoot right into the heart of his enemies. Our God is a sharpshooter. The Lord is really a sharpshooter, let me tell you. When he was fighting against all the religions there, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, every word that he spoke went right into the heart. Right into the heart. Even if the heart is as small as your shirt here. Right? Oh, when the Lord shoots an arrow, it'll be right into your heart right there. Yes. The Lord is the real warrior. He's the captain of our salvation. Yes. But he needs the arrows. Where are the arrows going to come from? From the old folks? A 90-year-old brother arrow. Oh, no, 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 no. But Johan, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, all of this, Benson, amen. My, the Lord can use you as an arrow to defeat his enemies. So in the church life, we need to take care of our younger generation. They will really be strong for the Lord. Right? This is why we need the arrows. Praise the Lord for the arrows. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Can you imagine Robin Hood without arrows in his quiver? I'm just kidding with the young people, because everybody knows Robin Hood. He's a sharpshooter. Or William Tell. You know William Tell? Right? You know the story of William Tell? Wilhelm Tell. Right? Who shoot the arrow on the apple on top of his son's head. If you're not a sharpshooter, please don't try it. You might hit between the eyes instead of the apple. You might shoot the apple of the eyes instead of the apple on the head. So, right. So we do need to take care of the young generation. I love the young people in the church life, to really help them to grow in the Lord, to be strong in the Lord, to be useful in God's hands, just like a sharp arrow in the hands of a warrior. Right? Everywhere I go, I told the older brothers and sisters, hey, in our generation, we're already too old. You need to take care of the younger generation to raise them up to be for God's purpose. Yes, praise the Lord. Then at the end, the last psalm of this group, Psalm 128, then you will see, you will get the blessings of the Lord. You will be a man who walks in his ways, a man who fears the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you will not just do anything. You will be watchful, right? Who walks in his ways. So wonderful. Now you're not only solid and immovable, now your walk is according to the ways of the Lord. Your paths are straight and not crooked. You remember the earlier Psalms, right? In Psalm 125, verse 5, for such as turn aside to their what kind of ways? Crooked ways. Don't walk the crooked ways in the church life. No, nothing is crooked in the church. In the world, everything is crooked. No. Nothing is straight in this world. Everything is crooked, right? Especially in Southeast Asia. Nothing is straight. Even the road is nothing. It's crooked. But in the church life, everything has to be straight. It is God's way. You chose a psalm, a verse in a psalm, which is very good. Lord, teach me your way. You all need to pray, Lord, teach me to walk in your ways. So if you read, you know, everybody read 1 John, but hardly anybody read 2 John and 3 John, right? Do you remember what is 2 and 3 John? You see, everybody read 1 John, well, but not 2 and 3 John. 2 and 3 John says, he rejoiced to see his children walking according to the truth. To the truth. Not lying all the time. Not having a deception, a tongue of deception, but walking according to the truth. This is the path of the Lord. In the church life, we all need to walk according to the truth. Amen. So in this Psalms, at the end of this group of Psalms, my, we are all walking according to his ways. Really good. Wonderful. Then there's no trouble in the church life. Then you will eat the labor of your hands. Now this labor is with the Lord. Now you're a co-laborers of the Lord, and the Lord will bless you. You shall be happy. Amen. And it will be well with you. Wonderful. You'll be joyful. You'll be happy. Well with you. Amen. Praise the Lord, all right? You'll be satisfied. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Now, you can really see, right, the vine and olive trees are two descriptions concerning God's people. Remember, the Lord says, I am the true vine, and you are the branches, bringing forth much fruit. And then we are sons of oil. You remember in Zechariah chapter 4, there are two olive trees, and producing so much oil flowing into the golden lampstands. My, can you imagine? The church life is like a vine tree, and all the saints are like olive. Hey, are you filled with the Spirit, full of oil? My goodness, so wonderful. Right. This is a wonderful description of the blessing in God's house. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're all enjoying, you know, all around the table all the time. You know, the table is very good. Yes. Yes. Behold, thus shall be the man, right? Such a man be blessed who fears the Lord. And verse 5 says, now the blessing of the Lord is out of Zion. First of all, the blessing and the help comes from God who created the heavens and the earth and who dwells there, right? Previously, he dwells there. Now in this Psalms, where is he? Where does his blessing come from? From Zion. You need to see this. When the church life is built, the very church life will become a blessing to you. Now the Lord will bless you out of Zion. The blessings come out of Zion. May you see the good of Jerusalem, not just a few days, but all the days of your life. You will see the good of Zion. My, how wonderful. Yes, verse 6. Yes, you may see your children's children from generation to generation to generation, you will say. My, not only one generation. It'll be terrible if only our generation loved the Lord and the second generation, they don't love the Lord anymore, just a little bit, and the third generation is just gone. Do you like that to happen to your children? No. But if you build up Zion and all your children realize and enjoy the reality of such a wonderful life and knowing the living God who created the heavens and the earth, receiving so much help from Him, experiencing such a wonderful God, your generation will even be more solid. I wish to see my next generation even going higher. And the third generation will bring the Lord back. If it's not my generation, I hope it's the next generation. And if it's not the next generation, I hope the third generation will see the Lord's coming back. Wow, praise the Lord. Isn't this blessing much, much better than the first steps and stage and second stage? Now you come to the third stage. Wow, praise the Lord. Wonderful. This is how our spiritual life should be. Amen. May the Lord bless you out of Zion. May we all enjoy His blessings in Zion. I hope this will not just be a teaching to you. I hope this becomes a vision, the goal of your Christian life, that we will all ascend in our experience. Praise the Lord. Huh? Yes. Because the enemy is firstly, when he attacks, he has to enter into your city to attack you, right? But in order to come in, he has to break through the gate. Otherwise, he cannot come in. You know, in the ancient cities, you have a city wall and a city gate. And it is so difficult for the enemy to break the wall, to really come into your city. So when they meet you at the gate, you're not afraid of them and they cannot even get in. They cannot pass through the gate. Now, if the enemy cannot pass through even the gate, then they cannot take over the city. So that means we are victorious. The enemy has no ground to come in. That's why the Lord says, I will build my church in the gates of Hades. The power of Hades cannot come in. Right? So the house of God has watchmen. So if you see the enemy come in, well, they have to break your gate before they can come in. Right? So that's why in the Philippines you can all see the high walls and metal gate. You all have metal gates. You don't see such gate in America and in California. You know, nowhere you see such big gate and so thick and so many locks and then so many guards there. Oh, right? Isn't it true? Right? Look at you where you live, the checkpoint there. And not only checkpoint in the entrance to your Corinthians or whatever, right? And then after you come to your house and you see another big gate there, and there's so many gates. But here you can really see that if the enemy comes, he's already stopped at the gate. He cannot pass through the gates. Right? The watchman is there already, my, without fear of the enemy, because my, we are well prepared. Got a lot of arrows and sharp arrows. And we got a lot of sharpshooters here. I hope all the brothers are sharpshooters. Okay, Is it clear? Amen. Ah, you have to be a sharpshooter. Yes. All of us in the church life have to be sharpshooters. Praise God. Amen. So, now I hope you're all hungry for lunch.